Pastor Nick put that together for us, and I really appreciate his skill and talent. I feel like what Dave mentioned, and then also that video clip, kind of says what a lot of us are thinking. And it's kind of what's on a lot of our minds, because there is a lot of changes happening. You know, what's interesting about that is, you know, things really do change all the time, don't they? But a lot of times we don't notice it. It's somebody here in the church, they put something on Facebook, and I just asked if I could borrow it. They said, change is such a perplexing thing, and the irony about it is that it's happening all around us all the time. All the time. But a lot of times we don't notice it. It's as if it's a constant in our lives, but then when big changes happen, we go like, hey, what's going on? Well, what's going on is change is always happening. A lot of times we don't notice it because it's so gradual. Think about how many times has this happened to you where you see a relative or maybe a nephew or something, and you see him and you say something like, and every kid probably hates hearing this, but wow, look how big you got. Well, they didn't even notice because it's happening every day. You know, they might notice when they're growing out of their clothes or shoes or whatever, but for a lot of us, we don't notice that because we're not around them, and then when we see it, it kind of startling because it happens so gradual. And I think about, you know, it's always funny when you see something on Facebook, maybe an old friend, and you realize, wow, I'm old too. I didn't realize I was getting old. But it happens to all of us. We're always changing. It just, it's something you can't stop. You know what else is I've noticed is when you initiate the change, it's easy for you to deal with. Have you noticed that? Like if it's your idea, but when it happens to you, that's when you're kind of thinking, ooh, I don't know, I wasn't ready for this. I didn't ask Grace if I could mention this, but she's now a permit driver. She's driving, learning to drive. And it's so funny when you're driving with somebody who's a new driver because you're really attuned to every little thing. More so than when you're driving with someone that's older, that's more experienced, you just don't think about it. But it's funny because every turn of the wheel, I feel like, whoa, what happened there? You know what I mean? But when you're driving the car, you don't notice, and people in the back are moving around. I remember when I drove buses a lot. You'll get a little insight in my personality, but you know, we got that big mirror, the bus driver. See, I can see everybody. So one of the most comical things is anytime you tap your brakes, the entire crowd goes like this. And they don't even realize it, but it's because, and I don't even feel it, but it's because I'm driving. I know what's coming. I can anticipate it a little differently. But when it happens to you, it can be a little disconcerting and just like, hey, I'm not sure I was ready for that. What's interesting is part of us thinks that things should stay the same, and we even have an illusion that things are the same from day to day, but it's just an illusion because nothing's the same. Remember the first time in California, where I grew up, we have a lot of ghost towns, you know, they've sprung up in the silver or the gold rush or whatever, and then they're gone, and you can tour these towns. I remember the first time I went to one as a kid, I'm looking at the windows, I'm thinking, why is the window so blurry? Somebody said, well, that's because, and then the person giving the tour said, well, that's because this glass has been sitting here, and you know the molecules are always moving. I'm looking like, what? He goes, yeah, they're moving. So as time and gravity plays on those molecules, they kind of pull it down. And so what you're seeing is the glass that was once flat and really clear has been moving. It's changing. Never noticed it. It just happens. You know, technology changes. I remember as a kid, did anybody else grow up with a black and white TV? Is it just me? Okay. Well, yeah, we grew up with a black and white TV, and it wasn't like there wasn't color TVs when I was in high school. They were around. We just didn't have one. Ours was black and white. So I remember times where we'd go to a friend's house, or one time someone loaned us a TV for a while because they were going on a trip in their RV, and they loaned us their TV. And for us as kids, we thought that was the coolest thing in the world because it had color, and you could see what, you know, that Gilligan's shirt was actually red and not just a darker shade of gray. And was anybody the kid in their house that had to adjust the rabbit ears? Because that was me. Because when we were watching something, and my dad would say, can you go move that? You know, I go, okay, I know what I'm, you know, and you just hold it. There was even times where we'd try to watch a certain thing, and I'd actually have to stand there for a minute. Can you just stand there till this part's over? Like, ugh. You realize, of course, our kids have no idea what that even means. Not even a clue. I remember when my dad came home with a calculator. I know that sounds really stupid to some of you. You know why I remember? Because it was a huge fight. Because it cost, I'll never forget, $24. And it was kind of big. It was a TI, you know, Texas Instruments. It was about this big, and it was about that thick, and it was a scientific one. And I remember it was a fight in my house because my mom didn't realize he was going to spend that much money on a calculator. And basically what she was saying is, it's kind of cheating anyway. Why do you even need it? A calculator. Wow. Does anybody remember the fight over Beta and VHS? Anybody remember that? My brother-in-law, God bless him, it was so funny. I remember him coming into his house and he had a stack of beta tapes in the house. I'm like, what is that? And he had them all stacked up and he goes, well, everybody thinks that VHS is going to win this, but Beta's going to win. So everybody's selling their Beta. I'm just stockpiling. So, yeah. You know, now, of course, you know, we got DVDs, Blu-rays, on and on. I remember the first computer I ever saw in person. It was at San Diego State. We went on a field trip to see it. A field trip. This is what's really sad. I was in high school. I was in 10th grade. And I remember we went into this room. The room had to be at least the size of the entire stage. And it was all climate controlled. And so we went in. And as we went in, it was kind of cold in there. And the computers probably came from here back to the back of the backdrop. And they were enormous. They went from ceiling to floor. And they had huge reel-to-reel tapes on them. And the guy there, he was telling us, this science guy, you know, and he had a little lab coat on and all that. And he was talking about how this is the wave of the future and that pretty soon they were going to be like a tenth this big. We're like, no way, that could never happen. And I remember once one of Nicole's cousins came and he was looking for a flash drive. And I said, a flash drive? What's that? And he goes, well, you can store memory. I go, how much? And he said, well, right now they're up to 256K. So we drove all over Independence trying to find one, and we finally found one at Best Buy, and he was super excited. And I remember it cost over $25 for 256K. Now you can buy a terabyte. I mean, my mind can't even comprehend how much information that is. You know, it's just crazy. I remember the first time somebody in our church got a phone, a cell phone, and I remember, what a waste. Who would ever need that? It was this guy in our church, he was a lawyer, and his daughters, they kind of always had the best, newest of everything anyway. And so he got both his daughters' cell phones, and everybody was thinking, oh, that's just crazy. Who would ever need that? I mean, what a hassle, and they were pretty big, you know, and they took up their whole purse, and isn't that crazy? It's funny now because, you know, someone wrote on Facebook, a friend of mine, he was talking about how it's so great. I have a flashlight wherever I go. I take it with me and I can turn it on and off and I can see whatever I need. Oh, yeah, and I can make phone calls on it too. You can do your banking on your phone. You can open and shut your garage door. It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, who would have thought these changes were coming? I was a big, you know, Star Trek fan, and I remember when they'd pop open their tricorder and talk to somebody up on the ship, and I remember thinking, wow, I can't wait for that to happen. It's almost like a walkie-talkie, but they're talking in space, and now we're sending pictures. My mom and dad, they're in their 70s, and my mom would text. She texts me all the time. It's awesome. And you think about how powerful that is to communicate in just a flash. The other day, she texted me, and she was texting me something, and then she said something about, she actually texted me LOL. And I did. Because I thought, here's my 75-year-old mom laughing out loud. And I thought, I wonder, there's no way we would have even conceptualized that 5 or 6 years ago. And here she is texting me computer abbreviations. I just laughed. Actually, Dan Yates did that to me the other day, and I had to call him, say, is this really Dan? Because, yeah. It's amazing. They say that the capacity of our computers that we have right now will double every 11 months. I read this this last week, and I was kind of shocked. The 10 top jobs today didn't exist in 2004. 20% of marriages today started and met online. As a minister who does weddings periodically, I've got 3 already this year planned. I've already done 2 or 3 that's how they met. It's amazing, isn't it? I would have never thought that. And here it is. It's right here. It's the world we live in. Facebook started in 2004, and there's already 1 billion people active on Facebook. 1 billion. If that was a country, it'd be the third largest country in the world, closing in on India, which is the second largest country. It's amazing. Google processes over 40,000 search queries every second. Every second. And they only account for like 66% of the market. I mean, you still have Bing and Yahoo and other search engines that are out there. That's just, it blows my mind. You have all that information available in just a minute. Scientists tell us that the amount of available information doubles every year. And I've never read the New York Times, but they say that the New York Times, just one copy, contains more information that was in, than what was in, available in the first 1,500 years of recorded history. Talk about change. It's happening all around us, and now all that information is available to you with a click of a mouse. My kids have never used an encyclopedia. There's no need. I bet they've never even used a dictionary because they don't need it. They can get to it on their phone and in a heartbeat. It's amazing. People change. We all change. We grow up. Some of us grow out, right? I mean, it happens. You just get older and things happen. We mature. There's an old joke about when you get married, you know, the wife changes her name. But really, both should change their name because they both change. I mean, if you've been married a while, you realize you're not the same person you were when you said, I do. I mean, all those things change. It just happens all around us. Jobs change us. Crisis change us. But with all that said, I know change happens all the time, but it still catches me off guard. And as a church, we get caught off guard. And I think it's important today for us to just address some of the realities of change. Change can feel like a loss. Maybe a loss of dreams that we thought were going to happen or something that was going to be. I mean, you can think of it in context of the church. You can think of your own personal context. But sometimes when things change, you just feel like something that you thought was going to happen may not be happening. Another thing that can be very unsettling is loss of the familiar. Maybe some of you have done this where you've gone back to your childhood home or someplace that you grew up and you have a lot of memories attached and you go and it's changed. And it's not the way you remember it. Now, some of that can be just your memory because, you know, as a kid, things are bigger than what they really were or whatever. But sometimes it can be just the fact that it changes. I know my dad's family, they came to California during the gold rush and had a huge ranch at one time. And then that dwindled down to me as a kid. I remember my grandmother had 1 acre. That was it. That was all that was left. And the town they grew up in had grown up all around them, but they still lived on Luce Avenue. And then when my grandmother passed away, the house, you know, no one could really afford it or bought it. And I don't even know who owns it now, but I've taken my own family by there. And it's a weird, bittersweet thing, sweet thing, because you look at the yard and it's still there, but it's different. It doesn't feel the same. You know, and nobody there, there's no Luces even living in that area anymore. It's just weird. You lose the familiar. Another thing that can be super unsettling is just the unknown. As Dave Holzel read all that report from the board, you know, right inside that was the fact that some of what's ahead of us is unknown. We don't know a lot of the next steps for sure or who's what, or some of that's unknown, and it can be very unsettling. And you can have a lot of reactions to that. I know this is true, that change, even when things change, there can be a sense of mourning. You know, we all mourn different things in our life, whether it's a loss of a loved one, which is probably what most of us think of, but, you know, a lot of times you mourn change. I mean, it could be something as silly as an old favorite car and you upgraded, but you still miss some things about that old thing. I've got an old truck that I don't drive very much, and Mindy and Craig borrowed it, and as I was getting it ready for them to borrow it, you know, just the smell inside is just old. I like it, you know, and I drove it around thinking, I kind of miss this. You know, I miss being up high, and I mean, I use it for, you know, hauling stuff or whatever, but you still have a sense that it's gone and it's different. Going, looking toward the future, there could be, even with change, maybe even a question of loyalties, or you know, it's hard to be connected. I mean, Pastor and Eunice have left, but they're still pastors to many of us, and mentors and guides, and that'll never change. I mean, that's who they are. Thought it was really interesting and awesome how Christy, in the middle of that one worship set, how she kind of got a little prophetic, and I really believe she moves in the prophetic, and she talked about how unity is so crucial for us as a church, and she mentioned that scripture where in Corinthians, Paul talks about how some people said they were Paul or some Apollos, but really we're all followers of Christ. So I wanted to touch on a couple things. While there's always change, there's two things that will never, ever change. Two things. It's not death and taxes. It's not that. Two more, way, 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 way more important things. The first thing, or both of those things, are really Jesus and his mission for the church. I want to take you, we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 13, a couple verses in this section right here. First, it says, Jesus says, I will never leave you. I will never, ever abandon you. I thought it was really great how in the last worship song and then as Pastor Nick closed our worship time with prayer, he was praying and talking about how we need to hold on to Christ because he's our anchor in everything. You know what? He's our anchor in everything. And no matter what change is swirling around us, whether it's here at the church or in your own personal life, the fact is that Jesus never changes. I heard this old story once about a couple. They were driving along in their old truck, and as they were driving, they came up on a couple, a young couple, and they were in a car, had to be a bench seat because the girl was slid over right next to him, you know, and they're driving, and he's sitting there, and he's got her arm around her. And the wife, she says, honey, remember when we used to do that? And he looks over at her and he says, I never moved. Ouch. Yeah, that's true. But here's the thing, just like Christ, he never moves. We move. We move in and out, up and down, commitment levels, you know, feelings. Like I talked, I liked that Provo video for the class Vicki Gregg is teaching. You know, feelings, if we live by feelings, they're all over the place. But Christ never changes. I guarantee you, he is always here. And his plans for the church is always the same. Always the same. Let's talk about his mission for a minute. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Trustworthy saying, everyone should accept it. Christ came into the world to save sinners. That will never change. That will never change. That's who he is. That's who he was. That's what he wants this church to be about. I really loved when Pastor preached his last sermon 2 weeks ago. He talked about our mission and vision as a church. He talked about it, love God and love others. That is everything. It is everything. It's the message of the gospel, and it always will be. You know what? Any church you go to, they'll have a mission and vision, and they're all amazing, but they all boil down to this, love God, love others. It will always be that. And you can say it a lot of different ways, but the fact is, that is the message of the gospel. As we love God, we will love others. And that's how it'll work. And through that, as we grow and connect and go, we will be reaching out to the lost. And it will be a perpetual process because that's who Christ is. That's his character. And that's what this church will always be about. So a question, which gets to the video that Nick put together. So what are we going to do? What is Crown Point Church going to do? Here's the first thing that we'll do for sure. We're going to always honor and celebrate the past because this church has an amazing heritage. Not only 40 years with Pastor Newby and Eunice, but even going back further there are pastors who've invested in this church, and there's people even at the church who've been here even longer than 40 years. Many of you have grown up here, and everything, I really believe this, that everything that happens at this church will be built on that foundation. And we have to honor, and we always will honor. You know what's interesting too? That passage in Hebrews talks about that. In chapter 13, verse 7, it says, remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow their example of faith. I had to read that like 3 or 4 times. You know why? Because I thought, well, that's amazing. That's exactly what we're doing today. That's exactly what we did last Sunday. And that's what we'll do going forward. We will always do that. Always, always, always. Remember our leaders who taught us the word of God, and we'll think of all the good that came from their lives, all of it. Something else we're going to do is we're going to live in the present. I heard this quote, and it just, every time I think about it, I think, well, anyway, it's just funny. They're kind of play on words with the word present, and it says, life, or today isn't tied up with a bow, but it's still a present. It's a gift. The gift to us every day. This church has had an amazing past, but it also has an amazing present. There are people doing things in this church right now, ministry-wise. I mean, you saw an example of that with Happy up here today. I mean, as she was talking, I thought, how am I going to follow this without choking up? Because it just gripped my heart to think about these families and these children in these situations none of them asked for. And really, a lot of them could easily be angry at God and walk away from whatever faith they might have had because of this. And it's our job as a church to reach in and save them. I mean, what does James say? True religion is to minister to widows and orphans. And these are true orphans right in our midst. Literally thousands right here in Jackson County who need someone to reach out and take them in and to shepherd them in the faith. We need to live in that. We need that. Something else we're going to do is we're going to always plan for the future. I was in the board meeting when Pastor said that about the staff continuing. So the staff have been talking and planning. You know, I'm looking forward to Mother's Day Sunday. I really am. It's one of my favorite. I love all the big holidays, you know, whether it's Christmas or, of course, you know, all those. But Mother's Day is a special day. You know, one of the things I love about it, we all have a mother. All of us. And so I'm looking forward to celebrating that. It'll be great. The thing about it, too, is God has a plan for us. God has a plan for us. Last week when there was tongues and interpretation and Frank interpreted, one of the things that I was just struck by is how basically the Word of God said to us that I have a plan for this church. You know, we know God has a plan, don't we? But sometimes we forget because the confusion of change makes us think, God, is this your plan? But He does have a plan. He has a plan for this church. Crown Point Church isn't just a church on a hill here, just one of many, you know, Assembly of God churches in Lee Summit or the Independence area or Blue Springs. That's not it. He actually has a plan for this church. He has a plan for this church that's going to be different than, maybe some of you may not know this, but Epic right down the hill is an Assembly of God church. And then one of my best friends planted a church that's meeting in the Gamber Center. And then James River planted a church that's meeting just a little further down. And there were already like three or four churches in Lee Summit that are Assembly of God. And you know what? That's fine with me, because there are so many people who need to know Christ that I'm happy with there being different churches with different personalities. And this church, God has a specific plan for that's going to meet our unique personality and reach this community. He has a plan for us. None of that changes. He still has a plan for us. So really, the question comes down to this. That's the plan for the church, but what will you personally do? That is a good question. Now, we were talking about changes in technology earlier, and I love helping people. I love technology. It's fun. I often tell people I'm a great user. I'm not really a tech person or behind the scenes. I don't know that much about it, but I sure enjoy it. And it's fun trying to figure out different computers. And recently, my parents gave me a Mac, and I've always been an a PC user and all. It's been kind of fun trying to figure out how Mac does things a little different. And so the other day, I was going to turn the computer off, and I pushed a button, and this symbol came up. Can you see that? And they have the same thing on PCs, but it gave me these choices. It said to restart, sleep, cancel, or shut down. The problem was, though, I had to do some updates on it, and I was kind of worried because the last time I did an update on the Mac, it took 2 days. And I was thinking, and I know that was probably my internet connection. If you say that to a Mac person, they'll say, well, you're at a bad internet connection. There's nothing wrong with Mac. Mac's perfect. And I thought, well, okay, but I don't know if I have time for that. Does that make sense? That was it. It wasn't that I didn't want to do it, but I sat there and I stared at that screen for a long time. And I asked myself a lot of questions. Do I want to do this? Do I want to be part of this change that might happen to my computer? And then I thought, I'm barely getting to know it in the first place. What if it changes something and I don't know what to do next? And I don't know if my files are backed up. And I got all these things and I kind of got a little anxious. And I thought, I'm not sure what I know what I want to do. And I thought, do I want to restart? Probably not. The best thing was to sleep it just for a minute and then ask somebody who knew better than me. Or just to cancel altogether. But I wanted us to think about this too, because you have all those same questions when it comes to you and this body of Christ. Yes, there are changes. Pastor Newby pastored this church and led this congregation for 40 years. 40 years is, I don't have to tell you, is a long time. There are people in this congregation who that is the only pastor they've ever known. That is huge. Not only that, he and Eunice have wonderful personalities that create an atmosphere in a church that even if, no matter what, that you take them out of this church and that changes a lot of things. I mean, take aside, you know, that there's other people going to be preaching or all that. That's a big change. That is a big change. So you need to decide if you're going to be part of this and install some updates and go with it and stick with this new operating system. You follow me there? With that, let me just add a couple things. Every computer has a firewall. And it actually works a lot. I love how computer tech terms and all that, a lot of it mirrored car things and other terms. I mean, there's a firewall in your car, too, that protects the people in the car from if there might be fire in the engine compartment. But the same thing is true on a computer. You have a firewall that prevents things from getting in. Do you know what the firewall is for us today? This may be a little corny, but go with me, all right? I believe that firewall is prayer. Prayer. When I prayed before the sermon after Dave Holzel's announcement there, that is a prayer I really trust all of you will be praying. Because we need that protection, a firewall against disunity, against going the wrong direction. We need prayer to see God clearly. We need prayer for wisdom. We need prayer for God to pour what he wants into this church for the future. We need that desperately. And we need every single one of you praying. You know what bothers me a little bit, not bad, and so now I hesitate to say this because if you ever have me over for something, but it bothers me a little bit sometimes when I'm in a family meeting or someplace where they have me pray. You know why they do that? Because I'm the professional Christian, right? I'm the minister. And my prayer is going to be better or whatever. So there's a lot of times, in fact, this is kind of funny, this last family deal we had in Nicole's family, we have a minister who just retired, and then Nicole's grandma came up and said, well, he's retired now, and so you need to pray every time, make it good. And she's joking, kind of, but she's like, make it good. I'm like, okay, I will try to pray good today. You know what makes it good? Is you praying. Because your relationship with the Lord and your love and care for this church is what's going to take this church forward. You are the church. Church really isn't even this building or any of that. It's you, this body of Christ. I've said this so many times, and I'm just going to say it again. I never knew this body of Christ. I've been in Kansas City for 10 years and 6 years at Sheffield, and I've been in the building, but I never knew the church. Now that I know you, I think, what an amazing group of people. That's you. You need to be praying for this church. You need to pray for this body of Christ. Be praying for the staff. Be praying for the board and the search committee for the future. Pray for that. Let me mention a couple other things. Those of you who are into the PC Mac debate, you know that Macs don't often get viruses or whatever, and PCs are kind of prone to that. You know what I think viruses are in the computer world? I think the viruses can be like negativity and gossip and just bad attitudes. You know anybody like that? Sometimes they're fun to talk to, aren't they? Because you get all the juice and people. But it can be so damaging. And what's sad about a virus, it's a great term for something in a computer because it can spread. And then if your computer is talking with another computer, it can spread to that or even that flash drive. And it can infect a bunch of people. I want to challenge you to something. I want to challenge you to, if you have an issue, to follow Matthew 18 and confront that person directly. If you have questions, and there's good questions, everybody has questions, go to one of the board members. They're there for that. And if they can tell you everything, they will do it. So please do that. But aside from that, I just want to challenge you to be positive and speak positive because this church has an amazing future. I want to challenge you two more things. We have phenomenal things happen in this church. All the time. All the time. I mentioned the life groups that are tonight. I want to also emphasize we have prime timers this Tuesday. If you're 55 and older, this is a meeting just for you. I get to go every month, and it's one of my favorite things of the month because these are fun people, and we have a great time. I want to encourage you. There's dinner involved with that. Check your bulletin for times and everything. We have a new life group that's started for women. It's on first and third Tuesdays. This is a first Tuesday, so it'll meet. Grief Share meets first and third Thursdays. If you've experienced loss, they are meeting. Men's Breakfast, we do a breakfast at Corner Cafe 5:30 a.m. on Thursdays. I encourage you to be there. Our main auditorium, we have services in here, obviously, on Sunday. You're here. And then Wednesdays at 7 o'clock, we have great programs for our kids. We have Impact for the girls, Rangers for the guys, Youth for the youth age kids. In the computer world, we might call that syncing something. When you sync up, you realize there's strength in this body of Christ, and you are the source of that strength to each other. I want to encourage you to take advantage of that. And the last thing I want to challenge you on is to, those were kind of grow and connect, but I want to challenge you on go. 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 I want to challenge you to give your time, your life to this body of Christ. It's worth every minute of it. As our musicians come forward, I want you to shut your eyes for just a second. I'm going to ask you a couple questions, and I'm going to ask you for a response with a raised hand. Here's my questions for you. When I said earlier what we will do as a church, I want to know, and really between you and God, I want you to be on board with this. The first thing I'm going to ask you with everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to see how many of you are ready to celebrate and honor the past. Amen. Amen. The second question I would ask you is, how many of you are going to help live in the future? I mean, live in the present. All right. This last thing is a seriously honest question, but I do want to see you raise your hand, and it's not for me. It's really for you and God. With your head still bowed and eyes closed, I saw a rant on Facebook the other day about how often people say they'll pray, but they don't actually pray. Oh, I'll pray for you. Then they forget or get busy or whatever. And it is important to say you'll pray, but it's way more important to actually pray. I'm going to ask you for a commitment right now that you would pray for this church, for this body of Christ. How many of you would say you will do that for this church? Amen. God bless you. Would you stand with me, please?